right. So I'm going to use this guy. Usually I don't have a table. I like to be closer to you. I'm so short, though, so I might come down there in a little bit so I can, I don't like all this table separating us. But I just thought before we'd start our session, we'd just, like, have a quick respect pack because we are going to be sharing. You're going to be doing a lot of sharing with a partner. And so, you know, some of us may know each other, some of us may not know each other, but for the next hour, like, this is our space together. Part of the respect pack, this is one of my rules, nobody gets to be wrong. So no matter what you say, no matter what you're thinking, no matter where you're coming from, you don't get to be wrong when you're around me. That might work with other people, but it doesn't work with me. And then also, what is said here, let it stay here. Oh, typo. Let it stay here. Let it stay here. So, you know, just, you might share a story or, you know, something that seems really light and not, you know, too personal. If someone shares that with you, you know, just keep it to yourself. You can totally talk about your experience today and how awesome it was, but, you know, just keeping personal stories private. I want to know from you that if you need more support after our session today about anything, you know, you just heard I have domestic violence in my background. You know, this isn't like a big therapeutic session, but if you need more support about anything after today, including everything you're learning at the entire conference, if you want to get to a goal or if you do need help with something to overcome something, I want to know that you'll get that support. And you have our contact information down here, and we have a lot of resources on our website. Plus, I know a lot of you came with, you know, chaperones or mentors, and hopefully you can turn to them. And lastly, it's just, you know, let's just listen, be open, don't judge. That's what most people say around the country, that's what respect means to them. You know, is when someone listens to me, when they don't judge me, that's what respect looks like. So does that sound good? Can we raise our hand? Can you agree to that for the next hour? That'd be super helpful. And then the other women will feel more safe opening up. All right, so this might seem, you might be tired and not really feel like getting up on your feet, but I'm going to ask you to anyway. So if you don't mind getting up on your feet and putting all your beautiful bags and swag under your feet or on your, I would say under the chair or on the chair, because you're going to move a little bit in your row. You're going to move. All right? Okay. And then go ahead and stand up. Make sure there's nothing at your feet that you can trip over. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to link arms. You're going to link arms like this with the women next to you. Okay? We're not going to line dance. It's just, we're going to do something else. Oh, and there's some men here. So the men and women, sorry about that. And then what you're going to do is I'm going to give you, and the people next to the microphone are going to have to watch it a little bit. I'm going to give you like a scenario. And if you can relate to that scenario, you're going to take a step towards the middle aisle. So you might want to kind of scooch towards the wall a little bit at this moment so you can have a little room. I just thought of that. Okay. So if you can relate, you'll step towards the aisle. If you can't relate or don't feel like, you know, showing that you can relate because it's your privacy is your business, you'll just let yourself kind of be gently pulled along. So when I do this with all men in the room, I have to say, like, we don't need to go to the emergency room after this. Like, please don't pull an arm out of the socket. You know, they're a little more excited about it. But, you know, so we're just going to, it's just like very gentle, okay? And everything we do is challenged by choice. So you're in charge of your own story and your own privacy. And you know, you share what you want to share. All right. So, and I'll say take a walk, and that means, you know, go to the aisle, one little step. So take a walk if you've ever been disrespected by someone in a relationship. Take a walk if you ever have disrespected yourself in a relationship. It happens. Take a walk if you've ever said things in your own mind about yourself, like I'm too fat, too ugly, too stupid, nobody likes me, like putting yourself down, basically. Okay? Okay. Take a walk if you believe you saw negative or even violent relationship dynamics modeled in front of you. So like I had kind of bad relationship role models. That might be part of it. Not to bag on anybody else, but just that's your experience. All right. Take a walk if you feel that how you feel about yourself is connected to what happens in your relationships, positive or negative. All right. And take a walk if you think respect originates with you versus outside of you. Okay. And you don't have to agree with me. You might be like, I know she wants us to say that, but no. You know, this is about your own experience. Okay. So just really quick and, you know, talk an outside voice, because sometimes I have a partner with me who runs around with a microphone, like, you know, like on the Oprah show, but we don't have that right now. So use your outside voice. Raise your hand. Just share what you notice. Like, what do you notice about this activity? We're in a room with some people we do know, a lot of people we don't know. What do you just notice right off the bat? Yeah. Yes. Did you notice that? Like, you're not alone? You know, there's a lot of, and notice that there's a lot of age ranges in here, you know, and there's a lot of connectivity in the human experience, especially in the woman experience. So what else did you notice? Yes.
I noticed that we're getting closer to each other.
Oh, I like that. I've never had someone say that. Yeah. We're getting closer. Nice outside voice, see? That's one thing I want you to learn in our session is outside voice. Okay. What about if you had the experience of just being pulled along, you know, like I can't really relate to that, but you got pulled along. What did that mean to you? Anyone have that experience? Yeah. Yeah. Even if you didn't go through it, somebody else did, and there's an impact to that. You know, when you get into a friendship or relationship with someone who's had a lot of disrespect modeled, there's an impact. You know, when someone's hurt in our world, just like I love the, if you were here for the young woman who was speaking from Girl Up in the UN, or, you know, a few minutes before I came on, like, that matters, like, what's happening to women around the world, their rights, the, you know, what they're being given, it impacts all of us, even though we're here in Philadelphia and we might be having a different experience. So thank you for getting out of your seat, especially if you didn't have your Starbucks this morning like me, and participating. So go ahead and sit down, and we're going to do a couple more fun activities together. So you heard a little bit from Kelly in the introduction about the work we do. I founded something called the Respect Institute, and that is a very personal journey for me of turning pain into power. And I hope if you've ever had any, experienced any pain that has been an obstacle, that will become available to you. And I hope you're sparked by it in our session. But I want to just tell you a little bit about my family, my story, because that's where it all begins, right? So not the only white baby to ever be given to an interracial couple for adoption. Those are my parents. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is that is my first memory in life. So my first memory in life is actually of my mom holding me up like a human shield to try to get my dad to stop beating her to death. And what I now know is when that happened, I was about 2.5 years old, which is the same age my son, True, is now. And it really had an impact. And throughout my life, I look back at that story, and it's really easy to make things black and white. Like, my dad is a bad guy. You know, he's evil. He beats up women. But that's never the story, right? So when I went back, I was a journalist in my early career. And when I went back and investigated what had really happened in my family, what I came to learn, because I was very blessed that both my parents were very open with me about their experiences, because my family did have a lot of healing and growth. So what I learned was that both my parents, that's my dad, and that's my mom, Toni, when they were children, they were both victims of violence. And they were both, it's almost like they popped out into the world and, like, nobody cared about them. You know, neither one of them graduated from high school. They both struggled with addictions. And so it's kind of like, no duh, that they ended up back in their same disrespect cycle that they were used to once they found that person they were going to marry. So they're not dumb, they're not stupid, they're just in a cycle of disrespect that a lot of us have been in. And that cycle continued for me. And, you know, there's me in sixth grade. What am I writing on my yuck on my photo? I mean, you know, that's like my perception of myself. And we're kind of linking today between self-respect and relationships. So when I was in sixth grade, you know, I was an outcast. You know, I didn't fit in. And my family dynamics, that already felt like that inside, and then I just sort of, that was what was happening out in the world as well. But then by the time I was in high school, I had a plan, you know, that I'd been developing since I was an outcast, which was, you know, to be popular, to be that party person, you know, to get that attention. And so by the time I was, you know, and even though I'm in the little cheerleading uniform and I was a leader at school in certain capacities, I was also like a seriously bad influence on my friends. You know, I was the one with all the bad ideas of what we could do on the weekend that was illegal, underaged, and disrespectful to our bodies and to others. That was me. That was my leadership role within my group of friends. So, and I know that, you know, if you've ever had that kind of, I call it the light and dark, we have the other thing going on too. Like, I also was a leader. I just was leading people in the wrong direction and leading myself in the wrong direction. So I had an aha moment in my senior year of high school, which I think maybe you've already had because you would even come to a conference like this, which is I attached to a passion. I attached to something I wanted to do with my life. And what I love about that is it doesn't matter where you come from, that's available to you. So I attached to journalism, kind of like I'm sure Kelly had a similar background broadcast for her. For me, it was print and then the internet. But I was like, I want to be a reporter. How's that going to happen? I'm one truancy away from not graduating from high school. Just like I have two older brothers and a sister who also did not graduate from high school. So we're kind of almost five for six in my family. But because I was so passionate, like, I do want to be a journalist. It was like I was starting to realize I do matter. I do count. I need to do something with my life. I asked for help. And I figured out I could go to community college, I could get back on track, and ultimately I did become a reporter. So by the time I was 21, so that photo was taken, that cheerleading photo, when I was like 16, 17. When I was 21, I was in this building, the white building on the far right. Does anyone know what that building is? Supreme Court, ooh, I heard it right away. Yeah, so I'm not the first Latina Supreme Court justice that you never heard about. I was a reporter covering a big First Amendment case about the internet, so why you can say all that garbage on the internet is because of that case that I was covering that allowed free speech. And then I went on. I didn't want to just be a business and political journalist. I wanted to help young girls like the girl that I had been, and so at one of the media jobs I was at, eventually with another woman there, because it does take partnership to change the world, which is why I hope you link with someone today. We just book respect. Oh, thank you for coming back. The mic's going in and out. We decided to write respect to give girls and women, many women have read it, a formula for how can I make respect, my self-respect, which I do have control over despite my circumstances, the foundation of my life. And then we started a nonprofit and all this other good stuff happened. So now I do this work for a different reason. I do it for True. I always just find a way to show a picture of him. That's really why. I just like work it in, you know, in the double plaid. He's the only one who can pull off double plaid, of course. So, you know, I just think of how grateful I am that his experience at 2.5 years old is being at the pumpkin patch and, you know, having parents that have self-care and are following their passions. And we are not perfect. And he'll have his complaints about us later, I'm sure. But, you know, the point being, you can detour from just about anything. You know, when my brothers were your age, I mean, they were about both, they're only a year apart, to become one strikers in the California penal system. You know, my dad, which I didn't get into in the whole story, he wasn't a felon in the penal system. And even those guys who sat in prison cells, who were discarded by society, every single one of them had their own detour from destruction to their destiny, and it was about attaching to something that they wanted. So my dad wanted the family and wanted to be a part of that. He wanted sobriety. He wanted to matter. I have another brother who wanted to be of service. He now works at the Salvation Army, you know, helping all the people who were just like him, who were homeless at some point. And then my other brother, and this is the sort of other end of the spectrum that none of us want to fall into, he did not make it. So he had a child, he had things he wanted, and he didn't make it all the way through, and he died from his addiction. And why I bring that up is not to make you sad, but just to say that there is another thing you can do, aside from attaching to your passion and following that, is to get help. So whatever's in the way, it's your job to get help. I wish there was always a helping hand waiting for every one of us, and then another helping hand when we rejected it, and then another helping hand when it wasn't the right helping hand. But that doesn't happen. We need to have that light bulb go on inside of us, right, that we keep going. So here's kind of what I learned. There won't be a test. It's just, you know, take what you like and leave the rest, I always say. But at the end of the day, no matter what you've been taught about respect, a lot of us have been taught it's about civility and respecting people who are older than us or who are in positions of authority over us. And I actually don't believe that. We believe respect means I matter, you matter, equal. And how we get there matters. So the emails we send, our way of being with other people, how we even get to our goal, because there's a lot of people who are rich and famous and I don't admire how they got there, right? So how we get there actually does matter. It's like we want to leave a respect footprint. And a big thing we're all marinating in, right? So there's like ourself and our self-respect, but we don't live in a bubble. We're marinating in relationships. You're in relationships with people here today. You're in a relationship with me now. And it's not just, when I say relationship, I don't just mean boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of stuff. I mean your family, your friends, your mentors, your teachers, the environments you're in, your boss, if you have a job. We're all in relationship. It's really, really hard to be in isolation, even for my family members who were, you know, in prison. That's not even an isolated experience. So I want you to think about connecting the self-respect to your relationships and what's that looking like. And I want you to start by working with a partner. And I just have a request, because we're going to do a couple activities, that we work with the same partner throughout the session, because there's sort of like a crescendo activity I want you to do together. And what happens in groups like this sometimes is we get a little afraid to get out of our comfort zone if we've come alone or we, you know. So that's not going to happen in here, because we're not going to leave anybody hanging. You know, be the one who partners. And don't work in a group of three out of safety. This activity needs to be two people. If we have an odd number, Kelly or I can jump in. So there shouldn't be an odd number of people. So go ahead, and first assignment is to find your partner. It's really easy if they're sitting right next to you. And then I'll have you go through the questions, okay? So find your partner. Don't leave anyone hanging. All right, and pause. So hopefully you have a partner. If you don't, you're going to have to hustle. You're going to share with your partner everything on the screen. Your name, what city or town do you live in? Find out who came the furthest. And then the last one is one way I've seen women disrespect themselves or be disrespected by others. And if you're a man, share from the male perspective, okay? Go. All right, one more minute, keep going. Make sure you both share. All right, and start to wind it down. So this is the fun part. See that mic in the middle? We only have about a half an hour left, and I have a book signing after this for any of you that want to come. So I would love for a couple of you, you know, at least three people to come up to the mic and just share what you shared with your partner. You know, this is my perspective. Don't share what your partner shared. So just come on down. First three to line up, get to grab the mic. All right, everyone that's standing, yeah, go ahead and come on down. Perfect. And then this is a trick for all of you that want to go into emceeing. Pull the mic towards your mouth, kind of like an ice cream cone, and that's how we'll be able to hear you. Yes, I think it's on. Is
like
it on?
This? Can you hear me?
Perfect. Yeah, go ahead and tell us all the answers.
Okay. Hi, my name is Priscilla. I'm from Philly, Philadelphia. And one way I've seen women disrespect themselves is especially the way they dress or present themselves to others. Like either it's like wearing certain kind of clothes that shows certain parts that just to like attract a guy's attention. I think that's a way disrespecting yourself because you're not showing your true self. You're just showing like just a part of yourself just to attract another person's attention.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. All right.
My name is Amina. I live in Upper Darby, and I seen a girl that go to school with me send a naked picture out to a boy, and it got around the whole school.
Yeah. It's interesting how even the example sounds like both sides of the question, huh, in both scenarios, depending on how you look at it. All right.
Hello, my name is Jordan. I'm from Philadelphia. And one way I see women disrespect themselves is basically like in videos maybe, like how they carry themselves. And you're supposed to be a woman. You're supposed to carry yourself as a woman. And all women doesn't need like a man to like carry themselves. They can be independent. They can go for themselves. Like that's basically it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Amari. I'm from Philadelphia, and one way I see women being disrespected is when they're with a guy and they feel like they don't deserve him or they do deserve him, but they don't treat them the right way. Like, we all deserve to be respected. We're all queens. We should be all respected in all types of ways anyway.
My name is Jordan. One way I see people being disrespected by others is by people making fun of them and what they do and what they wear and their voice, and it's just wrong.
And, you know, we travel around the country. We also work with boys and young men, too, and they say a lot of the same things. That's their experience of disrespect in relationships. You know, when people don't listen to their boundaries, when people make fun of them, when people judge them by how they look. So it's a lot of these things are actually a universal experience. We're just happen to be women, but it's very universal. So I told you a little bit about my story, and what I ultimately just discovered in my story, and we've worked on this through the years through research as well, is that there's a series of things called respect basics, and you all are already doing it. You just modeled one of them. One of them is to, you know, tell your truth, right? Up there right by the head, like tell your truth. Like that's a big part of how we respect ourselves. Like tell your story, work through your story, be true to yourself, you know? And then you go through the rest of the list. So this is kind of a fun way to look at the list. And then I'm going to give you the normal kind of school way to look at the list. It's a little easier to digest. So it's, you know, tell your truth. This is stuff you already know, so we don't even need to define it. Know you're valuable. Follow your passions. Trust your gut, especially now at this time of life, starting to listen to yourselves more than outside messages. Set boundaries and speak up, which we're going to play with in a little bit. Be compassionate, not just towards others, but towards yourself. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes, and you can get really stuck right there. So part of it is to be compassionate. And listening to others is like the number one way we can show respect, just like you're doing right now. Get help. I think you can tell that's one of my favorites. Simple but not easy to do, and I know that as well. And then to spread respect ultimately is like the byproduct. So the respect basics, and you all can grab a card later and take them home with you, is if you notice, it's a way about how you're treating yourself. Because self-respect is the key ingredient to like knowing that you deserve mutual respect from others and then requesting that and negotiating that in relationships. But it starts with you. So what I know, and we do this program with as young as fifth graders, I know that you already know this stuff. So now I want you to share with your partner one basic you're strong at. Like you already have this going on. And then share with your partner, because I. So say the behavior. Say what you do. So, like, I'll do mine. Like, I'm very strong at getting help. Because if I'm stuck or hurt or crying or I'm making the same mistake over and over again, I'll either pick up the phone and call a trusted friend who's going to meet me with respect, you know, not someone who's not going to get it. And, you know, have you ever gone to help somebody like that? So, you know, you know, we say don't go to the hardware store for bread. You know, go start figuring out the right people to go to. I've also called hotlines before. I've also gotten professional therapy and counseling when that was what was needed. You know, like I have that muscle, that get help muscle. So, so share with your partner exactly what's on the screen. Go. All right, one more minute. Keep going. All right, and let's start to wind it down. And then same drill as before. I would love to have at least three new women, because it would be great to get as many voices out as possible in our session. 3 to 5 new women to come to the mic and just share with us what you shared with your partner. Good, we got one, we got two, we got three, four.
I'm strong at...
Oh, can you say your name, too?
Oh, sorry.
I can learn it.
I'm Helen, and I'm a professor at Arcadia, so I'm probably not really supposed to be up here. But
no, you are. It's all of us.
Yeah. I'm strong at telling my truth because I have gotten help, which I didn't seek out. I was kind of forced to do it. My mom was sick, and so I started going to a therapist, and I, you know, BS'd my way for about a year and a half, mm-hmm. thinking that he didn't know I was BSing, but... that was when I was 19, and I am seeing him on Saturday, and he's been a great help to me just by kind of doing all of that and helping me know I'm valuable, follow my passion. So by getting help, I was given all of those things at the same time. So thanks.
Oh, yay. Okay. I love it.
My name is Sydney, and I'm strong at being compassionate because... even though it's not impossible, but it's hard to do, I wish I could, like, help the world. Like, even though I'm one person, I kind of want to help the world one person at a time. So I do it because it makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing. And I feel that more people should do that, and a lot more things could be avoided that are violent if people are more compassionate.
And don't you see how all the basics, they're all, it's not, you don't go down the list and do it once and then you're done, you graduate. You know, I mean, I heard in the last share, you know you're valuable too, or you wouldn't have that pull to be of service. So, you know, they all kind of play together. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Julia. I had the same basic. I said I'm strong at being compassionate and listening also, because I think accepting people and helping other people is like a big part in like forming relationships. And in order to, like, have people listen to you, you need to listen to others and, like, be compassionate for them.
Yes. And when you're compassionate towards others, this is the only one I feel like works in reverse. If you practice being compassionate towards others, you become easier on yourself over time. So it's really helpful.
Yeah. I'm Kristen, and I'm strong at setting boundaries because I believe that if you set boundaries ahead of time, you're less likely to fall into temptation and fall into, like, bad situations. So if you tell yourself that you're going to avoid something ahead of time and go into something with, like, full knowledge, then you're less likely to end up in a bad or tough situation.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up question? Because I love that. Sure. Do you have a goal or a passion that you're already driving towards in your life?
I think just trying to be successful and avoiding any kind of anything that could hinder that process, anything that could turn me away from my goals and change my mindset in any way.
Yeah.
I avoid that.
I think that's connected. Follow your passions or, you know, that's really kind of like a fun way of saying set, you know, follow and set goals. If we don't have something we want out there, why would we set boundaries and have this over here be respected? You know, I mean, like that's part of the process is attaching to something out there. Yeah, so thank you. I love that. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Ambria, and one of the basics I'm strong at is know you're valuable. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I'm valuable, if I already know I'm valuable, I don't allow other people to be able to knock me down and to think low of me because I already set the standard high and know who I am. So their influence on me doesn't really matter because I already know who I am.
I love that. Such a great description. Come on down. Yeah.
My name is Colette, and I set boundaries. I speak my friend's truth. Because seriously, going in the loop, I'm tired of it. I have boundaries too. Mm-hmm. Don't puke on me constantly because mm-hmm. you're miserable. And something that the woman just ahead of me said, I can't remember what it was, but...
Because you were listening. Like you were in the...
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that. I want to give you, see how you already know? So we say at the Respect Institute, and again, I hope you all grab a card so you can take the basics home with you, is it's just about practicing. We practice it every day. We send an email focused on what we need to do today and like what our, you know, or what our life is about this week. And then like a basic will practice to help us. Cause you know, when I've been traveling a lot, so like a big one for me right now is to set boundaries. Like there was a party last night for all the speakers and I didn't go cause I'm like, I'm so tired. And I just had to, you know, I have to like take care of myself. Cause my goal was to be here and be present for you. You're my focus. So I had to just sort of like think all the way to the end of when I would be with you and be like, do I want to be really tired? No, I don't, you know? So it's just, it kind of works like that. I want to give you something else that this is what a lot of people don't know. So the root meaning of the word respect is actually to look again. When you go back in Latin or Greek, I forget which one, it's to look again, like respect, like spect, you know, spectacles. So this is a very interesting thing to kind of wrap your brain around, because it's like, okay, so if respect means to look again, that means I'm not going to write people off. I'm going to get to know that real person, right? It means in a conflict, when disrespect is spiraling out of control, look again. What's another perspective? Or look again over at that person and remember that you love them and that they're a human being and like get reconnected to that. It also works around our self-respect, which you're going to play with right now, because human brains are wired to be more attracted to negative stories, negative ways of thinking. That's why the news, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, I used to be in the news business. You know, it's just the way we're wired. And so it takes practice to look for empowering perspectives, empowering choices, and not get stuck. So here's how you're going to explore it with your partner. You're going to share, I'll walk you through before you start. Today, one relationship I'm struggling with is, like, who's the person? Just give the bottom line, not the whole Lifetime movie, you know, of what's going on. Like, we only have 2 minutes, right? When I look again, so just, it sounds weird, I know, but just try it. When I look again and then choose a self-respecting perspective or even, like, a respect perspective. Like, when I look again, you know, what's really going on here for me or what could be possible that's going on for them? And then the respect basic I can practice and just see the one you remembered. The list isn't up there for a reason. Just see like what's kind of sticking out for you. Okay, so go ahead and go with your partner. For this one, you're going to have 3 minutes because it's a little longer and I'll give you a 1 minute warning. know, it's confusing. Just like when you look at a situation, what's like a self-respect? All right, one more minute, one more minute. All right, and start to wind it down. Hopefully both of you shared. And this is totally normal. Remember, one of our rules is nobody gets to be wrong. Who here struggled with the second bullet point? Like, what do you mean? Like, how do you do that? Yeah, we kind of, you know, if you think about it, we could have made it easier and just said, how can I respect myself in this situation? Right? But we want to kind of like tweak our brains. You know, we're trying to tweak the way that we look at respect and tweak the way we think about it. So I would love to hear three women come up and share some examples of what you shared with your partner. And remember, just speak your own story, not your partner's story, which you've been doing great at. All right. And share your name too.
Hi, I'm Lizzie. I'm from Yardley, Pennsylvania, which is like a little bit further away from Philly. A relationship that I'm struggling with is like my relationship with my brother, and so we were like never really that good of friends, and like when I look again, like there were times where I was like really unhappy with who I was, and so I like took it out on him because when I came home from school, like he was the only person home for me to take it out on, and like I was just like really unhappy. So then there were also times where like he was really unhappy, and then when he came home from school, I was the only person there. And so I think like the basic, the respect basic that we can practice, like both of us, is just to like accept that we were like unhappy with who we both were at different times in our lives, and like realize that while the unhappiness sort of like spread because of our age difference, like for a long amount of time there was a lot of unhappiness, that like now both being very happy with who we are now, that we can just like be grateful for each other and like still having each other.
Well, that was a great example. So it's like be compassionate is the one you can, and spread respect. And see how really what this makes you do is put the focus on yourself, not put the focus on the other person, which you did beautifully. You were like, I was unhappy. You know, you put the focus back on yourself, your role, because we can only control really our role in a relationship. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Mary. And today one relationship I'm struggling with is me and my mom. And it was because when I was younger, I didn't understand the past that she went through. And now that I'm older, I understood it. So, like, we have our feuds and just, like, why? Like, and things like that. And when I look again, my thing is dealing with compassion, because I should be proud that she got over it and she went to go get help. But I'm still sitting here, like, trying to be her mother. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, she's my mother. And the respect basic I can practice is telling my truth, because a lot of times people come to me like, oh, like, what's your relationship with you and your mom? I'm just like, oh, just making up stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it will help if I told my truth, because then I could face it myself.
Wow, you're really connecting the dots. Yes, perfect. Yeah, I love it.
Hi, guys. My name is Musu, and I'm also struggling with a relationship with my mother, and I feel it's because I am her youngest child, and she's already raised 3 siblings, and I guess she's learned mistakes that she's made with them, and so I feel like she's especially hard on me, and I struggle with that because I feel like I'm not them, so she shouldn't treat me as though I am them or I've made those same mistakes. And when I look at it again, I'm not helping the situation because I'm stressed at school, and then I come home and I'm mad at her because she's my mom, and I know she's not going to leave me because I'm her child and we're going to be together forever. So I get mad at her and take everything out on her. And so both, like, neither of us are helping the situation. And the respect basic I can practice is telling my truth and also being compassionate, because I can tell her how I feel but also listen to why she feels some way towards me and acts towards me compared to others.
That's perfect. I'm going to give you another, I want you to go, but I'm going to give you another secret tip because you're like ready for it. You're like advanced. Which is one of the things you can do when you're in a conflict with someone is, and it's like a way of eliciting their truth, like what you described, is what's important about that to you? What's important about that to you? Because it might reveal, you know, some of the struggle behind that. Because we just kind of start with the, you know, we're already in the conflict. And so to just ask someone, what's important about that to you? You know, and then see what happens and be open to the answer, obviously. Yeah.
I'm Kashal, and I'm struggling with my my relationship with my friends. They come to me, and I listen to them. But then when I look over it, I think that their problems are kind of silly, and they do bad things just to cope with their problems. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I just kind of think that it's, like, stupid sometimes. But then again, I think that, oh, they're probably just really sad. So I guess the respect basic I can practice to be more compassionate and try not to judge other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, good. And maybe in there it sounds like there might be also set boundaries. Like if people are coming to you too much and, you know, you're not a, you guys need to be careful. You know, we all have to monitor what's getting, you know, what we're absorbing. You know, so sometimes, you know, it is about setting boundaries when you're ready, when you're not ready to absorb stuff from other people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you have to take care of yourself first. And that could be part of where the annoyance is coming from. I'm going to skip forward because I feel like you guys got the levels of listening down. I just wanted to give you a couple tips about saying no. We just kind of were talking about that a little bit. So who here struggles with saying no? Like whether it's taking on the commitments, whether it's, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, it's really hard. And so I know that for me, what happens is I say yes, 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 and then I get mad. And I get resentful. And then the next person, it's kind of like, F no. You know, like then I'm really like, you know, really mad and it's not even them. So I think part of self-care and self-respect is, and you guys have taught, you women are already making the links, which is like, okay, I have a goal. I have the things I want to do. So along the way, I have to set boundaries so that because that's my job, so that will become a reality. So that is about, I call it, you have to sometimes say no to a lot to say the big yeses. To the things that you really want and that you really want to be there and you really want to be available and you're all in, right? So I wanted to, you know, the first one I described, the kind of when I get mad, that's like aggressive, right? Passive is just saying yes all the time and never saying no when you want to say no, or not saying anything, you know, or even that's where lying comes in. So not being honest and just being like, oh, no, I'll be in Bermuda that weekend. You know, I can't. You're actually not being authentic, right? And then assertive is what I want us to practice, which is just there are different ways to say no that don't have an O in it. So one of the ones that I do is I'm not available. So that doesn't mean, and maybe I'm not available because I am laying on my couch watching TV, but that's what I need to do to take care of myself, you know, to recharge for the next thing. So I'm not available is one. Who here has like a creative one you do? It's not lying. It's just a different way of saying it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because this is helpful. We need these perspectives. Yeah.
Well, one thing I learned from my husband and his old friend who's about 90 years old, and my husband as a pastor, he gets a lot of people asking him things. So now he just tells them, and I learned it, to say, I'm committed. So I can't do it.
Committed to something else. Yeah, yeah. I like that. I'm committed to something else. And you can say, in another one you can say, and I, you know, I have to fundraise for my organization. I hear this all the time, is no, not right now. So it doesn't mean it's a no forever and ever. It's just like a not right now. And then there are times when we need to say no. So it's like, you know, that's when our physical safety is at risk, our emotional safety is at risk, and it's just, you know, no. You know, and I do think sometimes we have to use the hand. No. You know, not no, psh, you know, but no. And it this is the universal sign of stop. Like, you can do this anywhere in the world and people know what you're talking about. Arm's length. So I think this is important for us to remember, like, part of self-respect is saying no. So that then when we say yes, we mean it. We're being authentic. You know, that's what we wanted to do. Okay, a couple more tips before we do questions, which is, I think there's a big difference between yelling at people and fighting. That's how I learned to communicate in my family. You know, it's like it's a fight. You know, everything was a fight. Or people took off. So passive or aggressive. No respectful communication. So one of the tips that I wanted to give you is kind of what we did at the beginning. So there, see the word respect pack at the beginning, at the bottom? So when we started, I wanted you to have a certain experience. So I put the respect pack out there, and that was really me making requests. Making requests. And requests can be negotiated. And people don't hear right. Who has the experience that people don't hear right? Like, I said this, and then it, like, went in. I mean, it's just, it's so hard to get clear with people. Meet me here at 12. And they're like there, and it's not even because they're late. Like, they didn't even hear you right. You know, they're there at 12 midnight. You were there at 12 noon. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, it's really hard to get clarity, and that creates a lot of disrespect and frustration in relationships. You know, like, at the opposite end of the spectrum, maybe what Kelly and I experienced, you know, there's violence. You know, that's one end of the spectrum. But really where a lot of us have disrespect go down in our relationships is communication. That's where it all happens. So you already have your no skills. So now I want you to, you know, think about making requests of people. And that's kind of part of the tell your truth. You know, like, mom, can we not talk about the entire day right when I get home from school? I need about 15, 30 minutes to decompress. Can we do that? Does that work for you? Because you need to get the agreement. Or the request, you know, you'll be like, well, I said I only, then the next day you're all mad. I need my 15 minutes. But did they agree to the pact? You know, so we need that agreement. I should have agreement in there. But that's kind of like getting clear. You know, getting clear with people. So what I heard you say is we're going to meet at 12 noon in room 105, and we're each going to bring our own sandwich. Is that what I heard you say? Yes. You know, like, you know, getting clear. It really, really helps. My husband and I, you know, and then you have, like, if you have male, female brain stuff happening in your house, like, whoa, like, it's really hard sometimes to get clear on stuff, you know, because we have different ways often that our brain works. Neither one's wrong, just can be different. So does that make sense? Like, this can build respect in a relationship. Making requests, getting clear, what was the agreement? And then going back to the respect pact. So I would say any relationship you're having a struggle with right now, or just your primary relationships, if it's a real relationship, there's going to be conflict there. All real relationships have some conflict. That doesn't mean arguing. That doesn't mean, it just means two different people with maybe two different needs, wants, timeline, schedules, okay? So think about bringing a respect pact in to it. My husband and I, our general respect pact is, take care of yourself, because people get grumpy and hard to be in a relationship with when they're not taking care of themselves, okay? Like, 80% of the stuff that happens in a relationship is self-care stuff that didn't happen over here. Now I'm grumpy, unreasonable, hard to be with over here, right? Agree? So we say, take care of yourself. I'll see you at dinner. If there's anything left over that's in the relationship that needs to be handled, it's usually like 10% of the conversation. And often it's logistics, like, where are we meeting, what are we doing, you know. And then maybe once in a while, it's actually a request that actually needs to be made in the relationship. I need us to have dinner a couple more times a week as a family. You know, I'm feeling disconnected. I don't know what's going on. You know, you get what I'm saying? But we start with ourselves. And we'll even kind of call each other on it sometimes. Like, if we're being really grumpy, he'll be like, I feel like you're not taking care of yourself, and that's why we're having this argument right now. You know, like, it's not really about the content of the argument. It's not about who fed the dog, right? Does that make sense? So before we close out and do questions, you worked with a partner. You have a budding relationship, or maybe it's someone you've known a long time and you learned a little bit more, or you just got to have time together to share. And I want you, don't worry about the bridge part, that's next, but I just want you to share with that person what I respect about you is. Like, give them an acknowledgement. It might be the best thing they heard all week, okay? So go ahead and share. All right, and then come on back. I just want to facilitate the last part, and then I'm going to connect with you. Sorry. I just want to facilitate the last part. We're almost done. We're going to do questions right after this, and I have some goodies for all of you, which is, so here's the last part. If, see, my little harp goes, because I try to stay on time. The bridge. I want to connect whatever you're feeling right now with the whole room. So if some of you could take to the mic and just share what it was like to be acknowledged like that, or just share something you're going to take away from today. It was a short 60 minutes, but what's one thing you're going to take away? So come on up to the mic. Yeah. Yay. Oh, claps, excitement.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
Hi.
And what I learned from your little talk today was how to talk to people differently with more respect, and how to treat situations better, and how to look at situations in like a whole new perspective almost. I don't know, your talk just like opened my eyes a little bit, I guess you could say, and really helped. So thank you.
And you don't have to say anything nice to me. I mean, I totally appreciate it, but you know, like whatever's happening for you, but thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah.
My name is Brianna, and I'm from Philadelphia. What I'm taking away from this is the fact that I don't really respect myself. Mm-hmm. I've had problems with self-esteem since about elementary school, and I've just carried that with me to high school. But when I got to high school, I decided I was going to fake it and like not let people notice it. And today, I think I want to make a change within my relationships, within my friendships, and not hide my emotions so much. Mm. So, yeah, thank you.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, hi, my name is Alia, and today what I learned is how to be more compassionate with people. Well, I'm always a nice person, but especially to my little sister because she's annoying, but treat her better and probably talk to her more and listen to what she has to say than just badger her from what she's doing and things like that, so.
Yeah. Yay. I love it.
Yeah, this was a very, my name is Temwa. This was a very engaging and interactive session, and I thought there's a lot that could be applied in our lives every day. Yeah. What I'm going to remember the most is the definition of respect, to relook at something. And often when you have an issue presented to you, you often are blaming the other person, and you don't necessarily introspect and really say, well, what's my piece in it? So I really love the idea, even that question, when I look at this again, and seeing another perspective. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Good. Yay.
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and what I'm going to take out of this is the openness of it. I liked how we all came up here, and even though I'm a bit nervous right now, but I'm coming up here because I feel like it's an open environment, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to be judged. And it makes me, like, when I have a problem, instead of keeping it inside of me, going to someone and getting help and just asking for advice and sharing. Thank you.
Yeah, all right.
Hi, my name is Kelly. What I'm taking away from this is follow your passions, because a lot of times people tell you should be this, you should be that, because, I mean, economically, oh, go towards this field, go towards that mm-hmm. field, but if you're not doing what makes you happy, it's not worth it. So
that's right.
Follow what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Hi, my name is Hunter, and what I learned today is to have an open mind, not a closed mind, to respect my parents, you know, just to listen to them and, you know, hear what they have to say, you know, instead of arguing with them and all the time. To also, you know, appreciate myself, mm-hmm. that I'm not like everybody else, and that I am different from other people, and then I do respect myself, and I'm not going to let anybody else deter me away mm-hmm. or, you know, do whatever.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Yay, Kelly's coming up.
And one thing I believe in life is that you can always learn something from everyone and everything. You can learn what to do and what not to do. Today, when I was reviewing your notes as far as making a request versus a demand, that meant a lot to me, because as a woman and also as a single mother, I've always been taught that when you want something done, you need to just say it. Don't ask of someone. Tell them what to do. And I think that's caused me to struggle some in my career as a manager, because I would tell my employees, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, I need you to do this, rather than make the actual request. So it's something I'll take away with me, and maybe I'll have better results in the long run.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, I like that. It's hard. A lot of us survivors are get it done kind of people. It's hard to turn that. Yeah.
My name is Ornella, and I used to think that these things were, like, really stupid, and that,
like conferences like this?
No, like, motivational speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
But
totally.
I realized that, like, this is actually just what I needed, because I'm really mean to people, and people don't deserve that, and, like, I don't think that I deserve being treated nicely if I'm not going to treat people the same way, and I think that respecting people is really important, and that's the only way that, like, I can do better in the long run.
Oh, man. Well, you ended us so perfectly. Thank you. Yes, yay. I was going to say, please come up, Colette.
I've been dying to say this.
Yay.
This is my last thought. I've been through several illnesses, as some of us will as we get older. Mm-hmm. I'm so set on making sure that people are responsible for the energy that they bring to me. Mm. Whether they're aware of me or they're belligerent, and if they just have to be aware, responsible for the energy they bring to me, so that I can be me, my authentic self. And if they have these other things, these clouds, a temper tantrum over here that they're pushing towards me, you know, they get their hate on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a big thing about self-respect.
Yes.
Just to make sure that they're responsible for the energy that they're putting on you.
And those boundaries, which is what I'm hearing in there, is, you know, that's not mine. So thank you so much. I'll be around for about 5 more minutes, then I have a book signing in the hall, but there should be enough at least my business cards for each of you, which have the respect basics on them. And if you want to learn how we do what we do and bring it, and this is for all the young women, bring it into your environments, we have training programs. So come on down, and I want at least one picture with some of the women, so...